I don't speak to you tonight because you need this, but because it's just a reminder to us of something which we all need, and that is, it's written in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Most Christians, I believe, only hear God's word on a Sunday in church. I believe a very large number never read it during the week. In fact, I would say a growing number in this land. I would think also that many Christians read books about the Bible instead of the Bible when they come to it, or notes, and rush off satisfied to work. It's very easy too to read the Bible at speed, because that satisfies the conscience in a certain way, and you've read your bit for the day and rush off into the day. Those are the ways that God's word is really treated. And further, there is another way that it's treated, and that is that they read versions which really hardly are scripture. Some of the versions that are read have very little to do with scripture. That is one of the reasons we've kept to the authorized version, and the Book of Common Prayer has much scripture in it which we keep to. The Bible is our daily food, our companion, and our strength. And it's something we need to memorize. Remember Psalm 1 verse 2 said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And that's exactly how we ought to be meditating in it. Now, I want to just deal with you with the benefits very quickly of memorizing God's word. For a start, the benefit is this, that the Lord Jesus always knew God's word. Now, I know he was God, and I know he'd spoken the words, but he was truly man. How did he learn all that? He must have learnt it by sitting down with scrolls and learning it. I cannot see any other way than he was as a child, when he wasn't employed in fetching the water, or in looking after his brothers and sisters, or in having to help in Joseph, that he must have sat down often and read the scriptures. They were his delight. "In his law doth he meditate day and night." And I believe that's what he did. As he lay in bed, he thought of the words he'd read. Those things are how the Lord Jesus learnt it. And he learnt it for our sakes, because he became a man for our sakes. Now, the way that we benefit by it is this. First of all, you do not know the future. And as you go into the future, you get landed in very lonely situations. Many elderly people end up completely on their own. Those they depended on for life died. And when you're alone, whether it's in a prison cell for the Lord's sake, or whether it's because you're very old, or whether it's because you have no visitors, to have God's word keeps you sane and balanced and proper, clean and upright and able to cope with the world. Furthermore, our eyes are going in time. And when our eyes go, I get complaints from people that they have no more way of reading God's word and are stuck. What we've memorized remains with us. So memorizing has all those things. Furthermore, we all have influence. And the influence is used on younger people. And when they never make their children memorize God's word, then things go badly wrong in the second generation. And there is a great need to get God's word memorized. Now, the average person has an excuse. They say, "Well, I haven't got a good memory." Well, I would just point out to you that most people who memorize God's word haven't got an especially good memory. The truth is that they're a bit lazy. Supposing one was to say to them, "Well, I'll give you £500 for every verse you memorize during the next 7 days." I'll guarantee that they'd memorize more than they thought they could. If they really thought they were going to get £500 for every verse they memorized. And that is exactly how it needs doing. So there's a lot in memorizing the Bible which is just laziness in avoiding it. Now, it's worth far more than money, the Bible. It says it's a wisdom that isn't known to man, if you read Job 28, and the way of it isn't known to man, nor to the vulture up in the sky, nor to the miner who's after tin and gold and silver under the earth. There is a vein for the silver, but they never find wisdom. But wisdom, where dwelleth it? You never find wisdom except in God's word. And therefore it is wisdom. Now, memorizing brings ability. All of us started life with lots and lots of abilities. We cut off a lot of those abilities. I remember as a child being taught the rudiments of music, and I didn't find them difficult or anything, but I don't think I ever looked at them again until I was probably 13 or 14. By that time, it was too late. The difficulty with a lot of people is they have been chosen. You see, all our life is choosing. They start off reading, writing, arithmetic, sciences, languages. They choose one discipline, they go through that, they narrow it down, they get down finally to just learning French. And they let go of the mathematics and the science and the English and all the rest and just concentrate. Now it's the same with us to some extent. What ability you don't keep, you lose. To him that hath shall be given. And to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he said, give the one talent to him that hath 10 talents. And they said, but Lord, he hath 10 talents. And he said, to him that hath shall be given. It's a law of God. The more we memorize, the more we are capable of memorizing. Now, there are two ways of memorizing, I'd suggest. One is the broad sweep of God's word. People don't simply know where the books are. Learning the books of the Bible is very valuable, but even more, something of the contents of them. So to have the broad sweep is one lot of memory, and the other memory is individual verses. Dawson Trotman, who was in the Navigators and worked with Billy Graham and died very young indeed, he, for 3 years, drove a timber lorry for a firm in Los Angeles, and every day he memorized, driving round in his timber lorry, one verse of scripture. And by the end of 3 years he'd memorized 1,000 verses complete, and he went on from there to memorize the next 1,000. Carey, when asked if it was difficult learning foreign languages, because he'd learned 37, I think, or more, and he went in 37 translations, he said, after the first one, no, it was quite easy. And it's so that the more you learn, the easier it becomes. Our faculties improve with use, and one of them is memorizing. We've lost the art of memorizing, but we desperately need it, and especially that little children should memorize it. Now, the next thing is this. It gives it gives not only the ability, but it gives faith and steadiness. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it gives like this. When you look at something happening, or a temptation happening to you, or a big world event, you, the Holy Spirit takes the scripture you know and manages to bring it so it's equal with the event in your mind, and you see this event means that, and they've gone wrong because they didn't do that. That is why it says that a little child shall lead them, and that is why it says that we have more wisdom than all our teachers, and that they're in darkness and we're in light. It's simply because of this memorizing, and the Holy Spirit brings to one's memory. For instance, when I thought tonight, standing outside, I suddenly thought that Abraham chose the barren hills and God was with him, and in the end gave him great, great success. But he had to choose them, and we may not have the numbers who go across the road, but God has put us this way. So memorizing brings great blessings, especially it's the sword of the Spirit. Now, Torrey, Alexander, all the great evangelists have pleaded with Christians to memorize verses so they can use them. One of the things that strikes you about a man like Moody or Billy Graham is that they could take a verse of scripture and answer a man direct, straight away when he spoke, and bring him to the correct verse. And I've often noticed it with other Christians, that once you can do that, you can answer a person perfectly. Because they say it's throwing verses at people's heads, but what it's doing, if you're intelligent and sensible about it, is not just hiding behind verses, but saying, but this verse says so-and-so, and you should be doing it, or you shouldn't be doing it. And the person can see it. God's word is very plain. It's what the Reformers call perspicuous. It means it stands out in its meaning, and it makes it plainer than a man can make it. Now, again, it's absolutely vital in winning others. I don't believe anybody's won except ultimately by the Bible. So another thing is, guidance comes this way. And many times in my life when I've been stuck, I have prayed as I've set off, he being in the way, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Which was Abraham's servant's statement to Laban. And it often and often I found, again and again, God has led me just to the right door or to the right people. When I've been visiting, I had a dozen visits and really didn't know where to begin. And I found myself at a needy door, and one where obviously I was meant to be that afternoon. And I've often and often proved in my life that it leads me. I'll never forget the force of that verse that came to me. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It's proved every inch of the way. And furthermore, God's word fills our minds instead of the empty rubbish it is filling other people's minds. And it's especially true of little children. Their books which they're reading, frankly, most of the reading books would be better burned. About dragons and crocodiles and about princesses and things eating buns and that and behaving in highly undignified ways. It's the whole thing is just nonsense, and what they're doing is pouring rubbish into the child's mind, and then later on they pour poisonous rubbish in very soon. Now children are much better if they know God's word. I always think of the priest in a parish in Ireland who was talking to a little girl about going back to church. She'd believed the Bible and gone to a Protestant meeting, and finally he turned away in disgust from the child and said there was enough Bible in her to poison a parish. And that is quite true, that once you know the Bible, you're able to stand your ground against great weight. You find that the blind woman in Nottingham, who was burned during the Reformation, had very little skill to answer very highly skilled bishops with plenty of brains. And she answered them all perfectly well by quoting the Bible at them. When they asked her why she didn't go to Mass and what she believed about the Mass, she was able to tell them point by point. Anne Askew was her name, I think. She was a very fine Christian woman. And she stood completely alone and blind in the whole of Nottingham and was burned for it. But that woman had memorized scripture. So the Holy Spirit says that when we stand before kings and magistrates, we don't have to think what we're going to say, but the Holy Spirit will call to our memory. It doesn't say he'll bring it out and conjuring out of air, but he'll call to our memory the things which we've heard. And we'll be given an answer in that hour, so we don't have to worry about the answer. But if we never memorize, we have very little. It's growing usefulness. Again, the alternatives to memorizing scripture are dreadful. Some people memorize hymns. There are certain churches which go on memorizing hymns. Others, choruses. Others simply go on what their mother told them and what they remember. I've visited plenty, and they're an absolute nuisance. Others memorize all the stuff they have for work and school, but never have any time for memorizing God's word. And there's two ways of memorizing God's word. One is to learn a verse and to go on learning it till you've got it properly, not just partly. And the other is, little children do that very quickly. And the other is to read large chunks of God's Word. We go on and on and on and on and on reading them, and gradually they din in, but it's rather a vaguer process that. Then there's other ways to write out verses, to draw pictures in your Bible to remind you of verses, but you have to revise and go on and on revising, and then you can meditate. But whatever we do, we ought to get people down to memorizing. Now, it's all very well memorizing. You can just become a person who knows the Bible. There was a Scottish gravedigger in the 19th century who knew every verse in the Bible. And if you quoted the beginning of any verse to him throughout the Bible, he could complete it, word perfect. And many people used to go to him, and he charged sixpence a time to do this. So it was a feat he could accomplish. He must have had a photographic memory. And he always spent the sixpence on his favourite thing, which was the pub, where he got drunk frequently. And the fact is that memorising of itself is of very little help or importance. What is of importance is that it leads to godliness, that I might not sin against thee. We grow in godliness and in grace and in all the other things. Now, there's one last thing. All over the world, people are memorizing God's word. Young people and others in India and other places. I'm sure that those young people I saw in Nasik were memorizing God's word. The way they were studying it, their mouths moving and everything, they were getting verses into their heads. They found the value of it. And I believe that this country, and especially the Church of England and the Presbyterians, used to be known for knowing God's word remarkably. That has stopped and disappeared, and a lot of it is the mingle-mash of versions. But the other is simply the television and games and rubbish have drowned it all out. We need to memorize. Amen.